My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. And before we do anything else, I have a question for Rahul. Now, Rahul, you've been struggling a lot with sort of ants getting into your house, correct?
Yeah.
Now, and the original issue was that there's this bottle of vinaigrette that leaks, but for some reason you refuse to put out, throw away, get it put into a new bottle, or even like put it in a Ziploc or something, so it just keeps attracting ants. And the ants have now returned for the third time. Are they still going after that bottle of vinaigrette?
No, the vinegar is gone, sadly. I gave up on trying to make that work.
Was it real balsamic?
It was Costco balsamic, not real balsamic.
Yeah, I mean, it costs $5. So it's very good that you held on to it as long as you could and probably incurred like $300 in exterminator fees.
Look, it's all part of the pride thing where Rahul thinks that he can beat ants for some reason.
I will not lose to these stupid ants. They're like, it's so stupid that they're being...
Spoiler alert, pal, you've already lost.
It ain't over yet,
I mean,
son.
If you really want to beat them, what you have to do is trace them back to where they're getting in and caulk it, or like get an exterminator. Those are your two options.
I can't find where
they're
hiding.
So they beat
from
you.
They're hiding from me because they know I'll win. They won't fight me like men.
Doesn't hiding from you cause them to win?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to twist the definition of win to be like that, sure.
I don't think there's any definition of winning where the ants are inside of your house and they are not winning in this scenario.
Oh God, I'm probably going to end up poisoning my entire kitchen and calling an exterminator.
It's probably better to let the exterminator do it because they are trained on using poison rather than you.
The other thing is you could just go apeshit with that orange stuff, but you are going to have to figure out how they're getting in for that to work. And apparently that is beyond you.
I have aped with the orange. I've aped the entire floors. I aped pretty much the walls. And now I discovered
The walls?
They crawl on the walls. They're ants. And I just discovered they aped earth. I have to ape the top of my cabinets because they're crawling there.
They crawl everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just stop crawling. Enough.
I know, Rahul, you just need an exterminator because you're just outclassed in this battle.
But that's...
it's like that movie we watched. What was the rat movie, Lawrence?
Of Unknown Origin.
Of Unknown Origin. It's like if you just called the exterminator, it would be over in 5 seconds. For some reason, you refuse to.
Some
of us have a little thing called pride. I understand you have none. So you just lay over and let the ants eat you.
Now,
I won't.
Well, here's the thing. I have no pride, but also no ants.
Now, Rahul, I guess...
Guess I'd rather die with with pride in my chest.
It's better to die on your... Ronald, it's better to die on your feet covered in ants than live on your knees without ants, I guess. Anyways, I guess
it's a rough situation, man.
It is not. Man. You call that exterminator, they will be out in a week and it will be over.
Yeah, and they're like pretty good and fast. It takes like maybe 15 minutes.
Fucking shit.
I mean, I know some people will be like, don't get pesticides in your house, but you're already doing that.
Technically the orange shit is not, it is like safe because it's basically just orange peels and water.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff's probably safe. But if you actually want to kill them, you're going to have to do something. I mean, you can ask them to do whatever you want, too. You can do bait. That's not going to hurt you.
I once asked them, I had an exterminator, and I asked the guy to, and I quote, hey, if you could you just spray something that'll make them go away and not kill them? And he said, sure. And then he just gassed the hell out of all of them.
to be fair, that probably did not kill the nest, which is essentially not killing them, because they have so many ants in there. And they just replenish them as soon as you kill them. Like, killing them actually does nothing.
Yeah, and that's why murder is cool, too. There's always just another person out there.
Yeah, ants are a little bit different because they're more of, like, a hive unit than they are, like, individuals.
You know, I'd done some thinking about this whole centralized versus decentralized thing, and I came to the conclusion that for that exact reason, because you can bait and kill the queen an ant infestation is much better than a cockroach infestation. It's a centralized versus decentralized
Wait,
model.
You've never seen a queen cockroach? Bro, that's embarrassing for you.
That's wow, not bad, this guy's never even seen a queen cockroach.
Queen cockroach? I hope not. That was horrible.
Well, you just got wrong questioning his whole existence.
Queen cockroach.
So you're Google? You fucking idiot.
Search it on
I like that I think Rahul
Abdul just do not have queens.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know who wrote that, Rahul? The cockroach the queen.
The cockroach queen, beautiful.
She's trying to trick you. Anyways, let's actually do what we were supposed to do on this podcast, which is
When do we ever do that?
Yeah, fair enough. And our listenership remains the same regardless. So I guess this is basically the end of the Summer of Lawrence because my kid arrived. And I may like try to make us do one more thing or something. I don't know, but I'm like, I want a podcast because it'd be kind of a welcome change from running errands and changing diapers and feeding, trying to get a child to eat milk that for some reason, like my son is apparently not super sold on this whole like continuing to live thing. So he's pretty hard to convince to eat food. Milk. So anyways, I wanted a break. So I'm like, okay. And what cheers Lawrence up more than
okay.
anything?
We'll let you starve, kiddo. Let's do a little podcast.
Well, no, his mother's with him. And before you're like, you're a bad husband, I take the night shifts every single night. So basically, whatever I do in the day, my conscience is clear, man.
Yeah, anyway. I wasn't going to say that, but now I...
Now I'm convinced that you are.
Yeah.
Because reverse psychology.
Anyways.
You went out of your way to say that.
Yeah.
I am a good husband, guys. Promise.
But anyway, so Lawrence needed a little lift of his spirits and something that didn't require a lot of brain power. And what is very easy but also makes Lawrence happy? Well, that's right, owning Ronald. So I made him watch another movie I knew he'd love, which is Virtuosity from the 90s, starring Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
You didn't go with a sex joke there, which is where I thought you were going.
Oh, yeah. Anyways.
Banging Ronald.
Well, you know what? I'm very glad you picked this one.
Yep.
You owned me. Yeah. I really love it when you own me by making me watch movies I enjoy.
Yep, Ronald is a natural submissive and loves being owned.
Yeah, anyways, I guess so.
Let's go around and would you recommend this? Ronald, you go
what
first.
What was the last movie you owned me with where I enjoyed it?
I think it was Tango and Cash.
Oh, yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah, it
oh,
was.
Oh, man, okay. Well, this one is not as good as Tango and Cash, but this was a fun time. This is not a minor classic. This isn't like one that's forgotten. It doesn't really need to be revisited. Yet I quite enjoyed this. The level of insanity in this movie is like pretty high. Russell Crowe really brings this element of like if this was a more well-written movie, Russell Crowe would really be remembered in this as like this insane performance. And I think I said this in the group chat, but like Denzel's elevated performance, like that cuts with that is just what makes this movie work super well. Denzel takes this movie very seriously, and it like I think it works out really well because the movie's crazy, but then you have Denzel like actually taking everything super seriously with his like Denzel grit that just like works so well. Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington with each other, wow, just every time they're both on screen is really good. So I quite liked this movie. That being said, this is not for everyone. This isn't like there isn't that much to remember here, so I would recommend it, but I wouldn't necessarily like highly recommend it. I had a great time with it. If you ever see this on TV, like definitely watch it. It's pretty fun, but it doesn't need to be sought out, I don't think.
As for me, I'm in this weird spot where like whenever I like think about an individual thing that happened in this movie, I'm like, oh my god, that's so stupid and funny and awesome. And but then whenever I consider the movie as a whole, I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't have an incredible time with it. I think it legit might just be down to sleep deprivation, though. So, you know, I'm not really in like a great spot to decide whether a movie is good or not. But I don't know. There's a bunch of goofy shit that happens in here. And I'm pretty sure that if you have slept, you would have a fairly fun time watching it. So wait until it's free on some service or other and then put it on while dicking around on your phone. And every time you see Russell Crowe or Denzel Washington talk, look up and they will be doing something really weird. And
that is a hell of a recommendation.
Yeah. Rahul, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed this movie. I recommend it. Well, you know,
did you finish it? Oh, he didn't. I know it. I can tell.
I did finish it. You can't you tell. Did?
Then why was there? Why was there that sort of pause between?
I watched it in a number of sittings, so I had to like seek through all of them. And the ending was, I don't know. It didn't hold itself together that well.
The ending was a little too standard for how.
Yeah, they were just connected.
And nothing interesting really happened.
They
for
just
how
had to
crazy
force
it
through almost. Like people were just in
going through the motions.
Places and people.
The
were
ending, they were trying to do a clever ending when they needed to do a crazy ending.
Exactly. Know? Yep. That is true.
Like if this had been like a low key thriller about the nature of reality, that ending would be pretty good. But that is not what this movie is. This movie is Russell Crowe, like, giving the best Joker performance that never was, and Denzel Washington for some reason acting like he's in glory and gonna win that fucking Oscar, you know?
Yeah, it's like, dude, I can totally see why Denzel's career blew up. Like, even after being in this movie, he just killed it in this role, even though it's such a stupid fucking movie. Like, he's just nailing every scene he's in.
Yeah, he legitimately makes you care for the, like, trauma and backstory of this man who, for some reason, is being forced to fight a computer program that's, like, the most evil man who ever lived. Anyways, let's go ahead and roll for the summary. I'm going to include myself in the interest of fairness, but I'm going to warn you guys ahead of time. I will fuck it up if it is me.
You can just exclude yourself.
No.
I've excluded myself before.
It's me, motherfucker.
All right.
Yeah, I'll exclude myself just so it's fair for
I long. I already rolled. It's already me, you stupid little shit.
What? Roll again.
No.
But with me excluded.
Okay, sure, whatever. Well, I don't actually know. It's a 6, which would normally be you. So, fuck. Let's try this again. Yeah, it was me again. I rolled with advantage and I still lost.
All right, I'm just giving you a minute. You gotta crank this one the fuck out, even though it's
Ronald, if there's anything Lawrence loves, it is cranking it out.
All right. You think you can do it in a minute, or do you want more time?
Now let's fucking do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
So Denzel is running around a crazy-looking city with his partner, and they come across Russell Crowe, who's kind of crackling and laughing. And Denzel, he kills Denzel's partner, but then Denzel is trying to shoot him, and it doesn't work. And it turns out Russell Crowe is a computer program that's a composite of the most evil people who ever lived. And Denzel is a former cop prisoner who, like, is being testing out this program that's going to teach people something involving this evil guy. I don't know what. Because the other guy, Denzel's partner, died, they start trying to shut the program down. And the guy who made the most evil man in the world is like, I'm going to put him in a robot in the real world. So they do. And then the most evil man in the world goes on this weird killing spree where he does a bunch of goofy shit where he keeps threatening to do atrocities. But then the movie isn't a hard enough R to actually show them. So he kind of just is on a low-key killing spree while Denzel tracks him down. He keeps sort of framing Denzel for things, but then it doesn't matter. And eventually Denzel corners him in a studio and tries to shoot him. But he's got Russell Crowe has this thing where he can like heal himself by touching glass. But eventually Denzel does manage to kill him by just kind of knocking him into a bunch of glass. And for some reason that kills him this time. But then it's like, oh no, we can't find the hostages he took. So they rip out his little cube brain and put it in virtual reality and use that to trick him into telling them where the hostage is. But then it turns out that the guy who made Russell Crowe is evil after all, even though he's briefly flirting with being good. So he attacks them, but then he dies. And then Denzel, I guess, gets pardoned or something. And it's a happy ending, kind of, with Russell Crowe shouting a bunch. And it's really fucking stupid.
And you went about 30 seconds over, but pretty good summary, honestly.
Yeah.
A minute and a half for that craziness of a movie is pretty good.
Yeah. Anyways, I guess let's go for high points or something. So I'm gonna go with this movie. I thought about it in its realistic style high point, which is Denzel. The thing that ended up happening was that for some reason he was going. Russell Crowe has like the personality of a political terrorist in him, and he's the political terrorist who killed Denzel's family. So Denzel is going to kill the guy who will end up in Russell Crowe. He's a cop, but he's like. Got his face painted in like commando paint. So you're pretty sure he's just going to do an assassination. But then it turns out that Russell Crowe has kidnapped his kids and Denzel accidentally blows them up trying to save them. And then so Denzel just goes in and guns down everyone. But for some reason, the political terrorist is also giving an interview and the interviewers come into the room and Denzel accidentally shoots them. And for this, Denzel ends up with a 17-year sentence. And I thought about it, and it's like, on the one hand, he's black and he killed a white woman. So in America, that would be the death penalty. But on the other hand, he's a cop, and therefore he no laws apply to him, and he should have gotten no jail time. And you know what? I think that 17 years is a pretty good average between no jail time and the death penalty.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Realistic.
It was a long walk, so. But that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think they got it right on that one. Yeah, it's like, there's like a lot in the movie where you're like, why is he even in jail for killing the guy who murdered his family and cut off his arm? Also, why were there people interviewing him right after he killed the cop's family?
And then they ask him to say his catchphrase in the interview.
Yeah, and it's not like they don't know, because they ask him, like, why did you kill his family? It's like, what are you guys doing?
And, like, occasionally people will go get embedded with, like, cartels or, like, the Taliban or something and, like, report on their inner workings. But I can't imagine doing it with, like, an active serial killer guy in America like that, you know?
You'd be guaranteed to be the next victim.
Yeah, 100%. And also, it seems like the police would probably just follow you and figure out where he is instantly.
And you'd probably be charged with, like, aiding and abetting.
Yeah, I know that the First Amendment is pretty good, but I think by the time you've got, like, that happening, they're going to find some way around it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah.
Very strange. But this whole movie has, like, a really strange tone. It doesn't feel that out of place or anything.
Yeah. This movie can't really seem to decide if it's a comedy or not. And also, it seems like Russell Crowe keeps trying to sort of force the movie to let him do darker things through sheer, like, force of personality. But then the movie will just sort of, like, be like, no, 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 I'm sorry, man, but you can't, like, torture people to death on camera. And Russell Crowe will be very annoyed by that.
Yeah. That is true, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's like, this would have been better if it had just gone a little bit further. But Russell Crowe really does, like, the fact that he's, like, so insane makes this movie so much better.
Yeah.
Like, if this hadn't been Russell Crowe, if this had been somebody like a worse actor, this movie would have been insanely cringy and boring.
Yeah. Whereas maybe Russell Crowe, every single line reading, he appears to have thought, okay, what would the normal way of doing this be? And then be like, okay, that is the one thing I will not do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And like, his character is so insane too. I have to feel that was inspired by the way that Russell Crowe was doing this. Because... Yeah. Like, the premise of this movie is essentially, like, what would it be like if you combined the worst serial killers in history into a robot?
But it's not even a serial killer. Adolf Hitler's in there as well. And apparently, if you check the IMDb page, they explain, like, everyone who's... apparently, you can actually go freeze frame it at some point, and it's just, like, a listing of, like, 100 people who did horrible things.
Yeah. Well, okay, the worst people in history, maybe yeah. Not serial killers, worst people in history into one person. Like, were there any fictional characters?
I don't think so. I mean, there were fictional characters because he's a fictional character too, so, but I don't think there was anyone who was fictional in the, like, world of the movie.
Gotcha. Yeah, but I don't know. There's a whole thing on, like, how would they even do that, but, like, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's fake technology.
Yeah. The real question is why. I guess they're trying to use it to, like, train, like, cops. But the thing they're trying to train cops for is apparently just going into a sushi restaurant and shooting him, which it does not. I don't know why you need Adolf Hitler's, like, ideas to, like, take a hostage, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, it seems like they gave him the ideas and philosophy of, like, the worst serial killers and worst killers in history. But it's like, shouldn't you just train him as, like, a gunman if that's, like, the scenario?
Yeah. If they were having to investigate, like, a crime he did, it would make a lot more sense. But that is not what they're doing. He's just, like, you know, these evil people, none of whom I think was particularly good with a gun, even.
Mm. Yeah.
And then he gets dragged into the real world via the dumbest thing you could imagine. Ronald, would you, like, care to tell us exactly how he ends up in the real world? Because
I don't even really understand why this happens. But for some reason, he, like, tells his creator, hey, you're my god, but you're a spineless piece of shit, so put me in a robot, man. And the guy's like, why would I do that? And anyways, even if I did, they wouldn't allow it. And then he just says, sacrifice your queen. And so basically he tricks the guy who's in charge of the robots. He tricks him just by saying, hey, if I if you give me one of your robots, I'll put my sex person, this hot lady sex personality into the robot and you can have sex with her. And the guy's like, pulls his collar and is like, is it getting hot in here? And he does it for some reason.
Yeah. And just to be clear, it turns out
that it's not her.
The sex robot guy is Kevin J. Connor, who you may remember from They Will Be Blood. And also from he's the guy who ends up enslaved by the mummy in The Mummy.
Huh? He was in There Will Be Blood?
Who
was
Yeah, he plays the fake brother who then I think, you're right. What's his face realizes is his fake brother and just murders.
Yeah. There Will Be Blood spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I know that movie's like 15 years old, but yeah, I'll try to be a little more considerate.
Yeah, dude, come on. For the people who haven't seen it yet.
And also, while Kevin J. Connor is trying to figure out whether or not he should put this sex robot into a body so that he could have sex robot sex with it, he asked the question, are there any limits to Sheila 3.2's interactivity? Which I assume is him asking if the robot will do butt stuff.
Yeah. Which, it's just like, dude, like, eat your fucking plate before you're asking for seconds, you know? Like, you haven't even experienced, like, anything yet. Like, why are you already asking what the limits are?
Yeah, that's true. That too, that too. And also, it is so weird to me that this company has apparently figured out how to, like, make artificial intelligences and how to put them in, like, self-healing bodies that are effectively, like, not quite unkillable, but pretty close to it. And they're apparently struggling for funding and equipment and stuff. It seems like once you've got those two things and can put them together. Oh, and, like, also fully immersive haptic feedback VR, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think it's haptic feedback. I think it's literally, like your brain is getting direct neurotransmission from the machine or whatever it is.
Yeah, so it seems like they should not have any funding issues whatsoever, but instead the guy's worried about getting shut down.
Yeah, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Also, he has like a million personalities, but for some reason, the guy panics at the idea of his super serial killer Sid 6.7 getting shut down. And it's like, dude, you've got other stuff, and you've clearly made it like to the point where people are worried about this. Like, you're on the map now.
Yeah.
You don't need to make a killer robot that just goes out and murders everything it sees. Like, what do you gain from that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's no, any publicity is good publicity. So, you know, this is really going to get the company's name out there.
Yeah. This is a low point, I guess, but whatever. We're just kind of we're just freeballing here. What is that character? What is that character? He just fucking releases the most potent serial killer of all time's personality in an unstoppable robot for no reason.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any skin in the game besides just getting arrested for doing that.
Yeah, and dying.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he dies in the end. But, like, there's no positive outcome for him in that. No possible positive outcome.
Maybe he was just tired of being pushed around by his boss, and he's just like, I'm gonna release a super mutant murderer guy.
Okay, if he had been like using Russell Crowe to get revenge on people like Hugh who had wronged him, that would kind of make sense. But as it is, he seems to do it either because Russell Crowe insulted him, or just, you know, why not? You only live once, you know?
Yeah, because yeah, I thought totally he was gonna try to be like, hey, kill these guys for me and I'll let you out, but that didn't happen. He didn't ask him to do anything. In fact, he ran before he could even talk to him.
Yeah. And then later on, though, he is so on board with, like, helping Russell Crowe out that he's, like, willing to kill people, like, and put him, he brings him back to life in the virtual reality. And then when it looks like they're going to get, the better of Russell Crowe, he kind of just beats one of them to death. And it's like, why?
Yeah, it really made no sense. I didn't understand the character, like, at all. Probably the worst part of the movie for me.
But it's also paradoxically very funny that they're just like, okay, we can't think of a good reason, so we're just not going to put anything in.
Yeah. That's kind of half the script in this. Like, they had some great ideas, but then there's stuff that it's like, we don't know. Fuck it. Just do it anyways.
Yeah.
It happens because the script wants it to, and we don't even try to hide that.
Yeah. If this doesn't happen, we don't have a movie, so yeah.
Okay, I've got a high point.
Hit me.
The creators of this movie apparently think that anyone at a UFC match just chant rhythmically, kapow. Because for like a solid hour of in-movie time, the crowd is just standing around, pumping their fists and yelling, kapow! Kapow! I don't know where they got the idea that people at UFC matches or any matches of any kind would ever do that, but it is very funny.
Yeah. Also, this movie apparently takes place in a world where, like, the UFC has pretty horrible security on their, like, prize fights, because Russell Crowe just kind of jumps into the ring, and doesn't he, like, beat both of the guys who are, like, fighting to death just to kind of prove that he can?
He doesn't end up fighting those guys, it's very confusing, because you're like, oh, he's at a UFC match, he's clearly going to fight a UFC guy in the ring, and then he jumps into the ring, and I'm like, okay, here it comes. And then they just kind of look at him, and then he jumps out for some reason.
No,
I think
he jumps out because
he sees Denzel.
And it's like, I'm like, dude, why are you scared of Denzel? You're a freaking ultra android.
We didn't have a gun.
Yeah, but just carry some glass in your pocket. Like,
and also, guns don't really seem to hurt him unless you got very lucky with a headshot, which never comes up.
They didn't even mention that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
It does hurt him,
but I mean, it doesn't hurt him in the same way it would hurt a human, right?
Yeah, so it's like, it never really seems like he's in danger from it, and like, there's a couple of times early when he gets shot, and he's like, I'm losing too much of myself, but then later he gets like full pumps full of like 30 rounds, and he seems fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
His hand gets blown off, and he didn't like that, but he was able to recover from that in the next scene.
It seems like getting shot for him is about what stepping on a goat head is for us, where it's like unpleasant and you'll go out of your way to avoid it, but it is not really a threat to you. And if it does happen, it's not that big a deal, really, you know?
Yeah, not in the long term, right?
Yeah. I have a high point, which is that I don't know what they were doing with Russell Crowe's makeup, but they somehow give him this like weird smoothness that really does look like he's just some kind of nanobot guy. And
yeah, it worked. His image was good.
In fact, most of the special effects in this are pretty good because they're supposed to look uncanny and strange and not really trying for reality. So the fact that they look like that is, you know. So, of course, I got a like nano machine guy knitting itself together is going to look insane and like not real because, you know, it's a nano machine guy knitting itself together. It's not like a guy.
You know, I will say another high point related to yours. This movie kind of nails how video games perform like 20 years ahead of time. Like the NPCs are kind of weird and just repetitive and like stuff glitches out when you look around a little bit.
Yeah.
Like this was like 1995.
Uh-huh.
Think about the video games that were out at this time. Like StarCraft hadn't even been released. This was like, you know, mostly 2D space still. It was the Super Nintendo was the main console. There was some PC gaming that was more advanced, but like it was oddly prescient on what like these VR games would look like, I think.
Also, although gaming has somewhat moved beyond this, the guy is just evil because he's evil and he's kind of mega Hitler is sort of the motivation for most of the bad guys in video games from about 1995 to maybe 2015, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was right for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what year this was supposed to be. I can't remember if it said.
I mean,
are we already ahead of it?
I don't know. We haven't invented robot arms, so I don't think we're quite there yet.
Well, yeah, but often in movies, the year is like way too early for the technology.
Yeah. It is pretty weird to me that this is a movie where the only changes from our present day appear to be one UFC, or from the present day when it was made, is that one UFC is a bit bigger. Although it still isn't as big as it was right now, because like the arena still kind of looks only half full. Two, they have robot arms. And three, they've got working VR that doesn't suck, which, you know, people keep saying they're going to do and then haven't managed. But other than that, it basically just looks like today.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay, but I figured out what year it is. Everyone take a guess at what year you think it is, and we'll see who's closer.
I'm going to go with 2030.
All right, what do you think? Oh, keep in mind, this movie came out in 1995.
Yeah, and movies are famously optimistic about the future.
Can I guess again?
I'm going to say 2020.
I'm going to say 1996. They thought it was just around the corner.
Okay, you're very close. It was 1999.
Oh,
they thought that was 4 years in the future. I take it all back. They're out of their goddamn minds.
Those crazy fucking bastards. I love that. I have a low point, which is that the ending of this where, well, one of them, this movie has like three climaxes and two of them are terrible. But the one that kind of works is basically Russell Crowe and Denzel are getting into a fight. And Denzel eventually finishes the fight by like knocking Russell Crowe through a bunch of windows and having him fall 20 stories onto a bunch of glass and then ripping his brains back out of his skull, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, Russell Crowe gets healed by glass and he's sort of like putting himself together. And I 100% thought that he was going to use the fact that there was so much glass around to turn himself into a monster. And that would have been very good and the ending this movie needed. So yeah, low point for not doing better. That.
It would have made a ton of sense too.
Like they both fall through the glass, and only Russell Crowe is damaged. I'm like, what?
Well, Denzel landed on the bottom, his robot arm.
Okay.
Oh yeah, he also has a metal arm.
He also has the robot arm.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he tucked and rolled entirely on his robot arm, and it just absorbed the impact.
He's like the Winter Soldier. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Russell Crowe should have turned into a monster.
Yeah, that honestly would have fit so well in the movie, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Rahul, you got anything?
I like how they're fighting in the end, and, you know, Denzel resorts to fighting him, like, with physicality instead of using any more weapons at that point.
Yeah, he's a freaking robot!
Like, why are you...
I mean, he does have a metal arm.
He does have the metal arm.
Maybe his metal arm is stronger than the android nanite body.
It didn't play in the fight at all, the metal arm.
I mean, so. It kind of does because he does appear to be favoring doing punches with that arm. But yeah, not enough. Because the only thing that could possibly let him beat fucking Russell Crowe is the fact that he has a robot arm. So he really should be leaning into that robot arm more.
And even if he was, it was not like... told to us through the movie that he was doing that.
Curiously, his robot arm does prove key to disarming the bomb, which is not the twist where it should like come into play, I feel.
And Mason, it seemed mostly because he could just pull a wire out from it, which
was
amazing. I guess that's a good reason to have a robot arm. I thought he was plugging himself into it at first.
Yeah, no, me too.
That would have made more sense because then it's sort of a commentary on like how to defeat the machine man. You have to merge with the machine.
Yeah, right, exactly. And like that would have kind of made some poetic sense, but now he just pulled a wire out and then hooked it up
like,
to itself.
Shorted it or something weird. Or reset every at 4 seconds.
Yeah,
he said he connected the input to the output. So
okay.
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah, I don't
technical
know.
Technical stuff.
What's the output?
Explosions.
Oh.
Okay.
Have a related sort of something on that, which is that that bomb has like a custom interface hooked up to it. Where a recording of Russell Crowe makes fun of Denzel Washington because he's like, I've thought of everything. You cannot possibly disarm this bomb, you know, or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Imagine I said that with even weirder intonation.
Yeah.
And I looked at the top and the program he is using is Bomb Shop 6.7. It's got a bunch of different icons you can click and two of them are bombs and the other ones are like a save icon and I think a printer. And it's like, What else does this thing need to do besides have a bomb go off?
And by thought of everything, I think he just meant press any of the buttons in here.
Yeah, he meant, the three things you might try are, one, you'll go in through the front, two, you'll go in through the top and try to lift the girl up, and three, you'll try to, like, type on this thing.
Yeah, and apparently he tried to do something by resetting the internal system clock, which I don't even... know how we would be able to access that.
He tried to introduce the Y2K bug into the system.
Yeah, right. But he said, I've already thought of that. And it's like, okay. I guess you thought of that, but it's also like, how would he even do that?
But then it's like, well, I guess the one thing you didn't think of is me plugging stuff into these exposed ports.
Yeah, right.
Should have glued those.
Yeah, right.
Stupid android.
Why did you even have those?
Well, that was the only computer he could get.
Yeah, so. He was pressed for time, and he had to use some off-the-shelf parts. And, you know, it's what you can get at Radio Shack or whatever.
Yeah, you know, in between killing sprees, and you're trying to build a weird bomb of some kind.
Hey,
lasers and stuff.
In a world where robot arms and virtual intelligences and shit are real, do we think Radio Shack lasts longer or goes out of business sooner? Or has no impact
on
it
what they
point?
Do.
I mean,
it depends
they could,
on if Radio Shack continues to sell whatever
robot arms stuff,
or if they move into the cybernetic augmentations industry, which is blowing up.
Yeah.
Why do you think Radio Shack went out of business? Like, did people stop buying as many like electronics, or was it like the main stuff that they sold was actually like stereos and shit, and like buying resistors at the Radio Shack was like a very small part of their profit?
I think the main problem is that they started as a hobbyist electronics shop, and somehow that like expanded into a nationwide chain with no clear identity, where they would sell everything from like their whole thing was just vague electronics. So you could get everything from like headphones all the way through like fucking remote controlled cars there. And since they never really had a set identity, they just kind of collapsed.
Yeah, that does sound right. Because it's kind of interesting to be like, oh yeah, you used to be able to like go buy stuff for like electronics at a local store. And that doesn't really exist anymore. And I don't know if that's because not as many people like try to jury-rig their electronics, or if it's because Radio Shack just like tried to expand past what made it unique. I'm not sure.
I think they were living on borrowed time because radio's in their name.
Yeah, when they changed to the Shack, everyone thought it was a pizza place.
But, and also, I mean, they were living on borrowed time because it's only a matter of a few years until the Butlerian Jihad comes and we smash all electronics.
Yeah, especially the AM radios. Yep. Most advanced technology we have.
Well, the AM stands for artificial mind, you know.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Prime candidate for smashing.
Yep. Anyways. I got another high point, which is, so what's his face is trying to sell Kevin O'Connell on his sex robot. And he says he has her just come out in lingerie and say a bunch of sexy stuff about how she wants to have sex all sex style. But that he also is like just describing her features. And it's like she can monitor your heart rate. She can, you know, tell whatever. And he also says she can detect any degree of tumescence, which is so much funnier. I mean, first of all, I guess the sex robot needs stuff you can have a heart on, fine. But any degree of tumescence is so weird to me because like this robot can tell if you're not into it at all.
That's probably good, though.
I guess. But still,
The sex robot should probably know how to change tack if you're like, wow, this is not doing it for him. Does tumescence work on a woman?
I mean, it depends if the woman has a penis or not, I guess. Some of them do.
Well, sure, but also
we're trans allies on this podcast, Ronald.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's all fine, but I think it might work for like the clitoris.
Maybe.
You know what?
So she can detect any degree, Rahul. Any degree.
That's what I said. It depends on the sensitivity of the degrees, you know?
Yeah, any degree, but the degree is very large. It's pretty much zero or one.
And if you get exactly a semi, halfway between soft and hard, and she tries to analyze it, her head just explodes because she can't handle like ambiguity.
Yeah, it's like floating point rounding error or something.
This movie would have been better if they just made the sex robot lady and she turned out to be a serial killer on accident.
It would have been funnier if they had merged the personalities
or something like that. They needed to work more sex robot. Well,
yeah, what they should have done is they merged the personality so it's Russell Crowe's head on that lady's body. And then her whole thing is just trying to use like her whole deal to confuse Denzel Washington into falling in love with her.
And but it totally works. And the end is them just getting married in like Cuba or something.
Yeah.
That would have been a very different and interesting movie.
I think we are just kind of pitching really niche hentai at this point.
I mean, you know, you can, you don't, it doesn't have to be human if you're
guys, wouldn't it be hot? Wouldn't it be hot if a woman had Russell Crowe's head? I'm just saying. I'm not gay. I'm not into Russell Crowe. But wouldn't it be hot if, like, a smoking hot babe had Russell Crowe's head?
Yes. Well, let's green light it.
Let's green light this hentai. Although it is going to be the most expensive hentai in the world because Russell Crowe's not going to let us have his likeness rights for cheap. And it doesn't do, it doesn't work for you if you're, it's not the officially licensed Russell Crowe head.
Oh, classic.
Anyways, fuck.
I like how much the head programmer guy reminded me of Ronald, actually.
Oh, God.
Wait, this is coming. I mean, Ronald is constantly, like, whenever he has to get anything done at work, he does, for some reason, always, like, try to convince the person that doing it will let them have sex with a robot.
Also, the guy was called multiple times a coward, which fucking Lawrence calls me every day for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know if Lawrence has another word at this point. Yeah. He could be complimenting you. I don't even know.
Yeah. It's hard to say with him.
I mean, it's all in intonation, which is, of course, lost in a text exchange. So,
you did know that was coming, didn't you?
I want you to know.
Yeah, I did. I really did.
He's like, I'm going to get Ronald. I'm going to get him good. There's any character at all in a movie, it's like, that guy reminds me of you.
Yeah. Anyone who's like a spineless worm.
Hey, actually, he was kind of evil, spineless, because he executed a pretty evil plan, and he had to put himself in some degree of danger.
I didn't really get that. That didn't really seem in line with his character.
It right? really, yeah, it didn't.
Now, another thing I love about this guy is, so he's like, okay, I mean, I've got this guy convinced that he could have sex with this robot if he, and also it's unclear why that dude's so head up to have sex with the robot. Cause I mean, hookers exist and probably pretty good, you know, especially for the amount of money that it seems like this guy who invented nanomachine robots should have, you know?
But I mean, also like if they have that technology, they should be making like android sex workers.
Yeah. 100%. And like android soul, like this whole universe, once you have that technology, suddenly everything in your setting is about that technology, you know?
Yeah, right. It's like that is game breaking. And also like they're looking for funding. There you go, bud.
Yeah. But anyways, so his master plan is, first he convinces this guy, okay, all you got to do to have sex, which I guess this guy never has had before or something, he's really motivated far beyond what an adult man who's had sex should be, you know? He's acting like a teenager who, like, thinks they're going to get to see a woman without her bra on for the first time. But anyways, he's got this guy convinced that all, you know, to make them sex robot. But then he has to, like, do a switcheroo, right? Where it's like, that's not the sex robot. It's Russell Crowe. And all that is involved in this is he takes the label off the sex robot. Or he takes the sex robot's, like, cube container and pulls her out and for some reason steps on it, which I don't get because perfectly good sex robot.
He doesn't step on it.
Doesn't he?
No, he just kicks it under, like, a cabinet.
Okay, but why?
I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyways, and then he puts Russell Crowe in it. So it's essentially like hiding your hardcore porn by putting it in, I don't know, your Raiders of the Lost Ark VHS case. And that's all of it.
You do that one a lot. That old trick.
Yeah, Lawrence has a lot of experience.
Let me actually. I have
Why is this VHS box filled with SD cards?
I like
he's still doing it in like 2020.
And it's actually far weirder that I have the VHS case than anything inside
like
of
that's,
it.
Why do you have a Raiders of the Lost Ark VHS case by your DVD player? Yeah, you have a VHS player, man.
I actually do have a story that's amusing to me, right?
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know. So I may decide to cut this afterwards, depending on how embarrassing it is when
it's
I've had
it. It's probably going to be good.
But, yeah, is this a driver's ed story?
Oh, no. No, that one was, that's Rahul is to tell. I guess. But anyways, so when I was young, you know, it was the early days of the internet. And even if you had broadband, video was kind of out or would take forever. Which meant that a lot of kinds of porn that you wouldn't expect to flourished, including stuff like Napster. When it hit big, it was it enforced probably badly, but the idea that you could only upload audio to it. So people started ripping the sounds from porn videos and uploading those.
Wow.
Yeah. It was hard times, right?
We were down bad back then.
Yeah. But anyways, and another thing that flourished was like people typing up sexy stories, which, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's still a thing. Yeah. Yeah. Although now I think it's much more of a niche thing of like, what if this Winchester brothers fucked each other? You know, back then it was just anything.
Okay.
But anyways, so I got some and I printed it out and I'm like, well, I need to hide this somewhere. So I, you know, obviously fold it up, tuck it in one of my many, many books. But then it's like, okay, I need to remember which book I put it in. But it can't be too obvious. So I wrote down the page and the title of the book and put it that on a piece of paper. And then I put that in another book. And then I wrote down the title and the page where I put that other instructions. I put that in another book. And then I wrote that book's title and page number down. And I just kept that around.
Wow.
Yeah.
A huge list of pointers.
Now, the problem with this is that it was very obvious which book had like 10 pages of printouts sort of folded up and put inside it.
Yeah, so like you're looking for it.
Yeah, this deception did nothing.
Yeah.
But
well,
nobody cared.
Yeah, right. I mean, would anyone be looking for it?
Yeah.
Would anyone be like, I bet Lawrence hid 10 pages of Literatica in one of his books. Like,
well, one time my dad was like trying to fix something on my computer because, you know, it was the mid 2000s.
Oh, shit.
We were looking at porn. We got viruses.
Man, Larry the Elder, you're in the danger zone. Touch the last.
Yeah. But anyways, and afterwards he's fixed it and he came out and he's like, hey, so did you enjoy your time on literatica.com? You know what? One of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me.
Huh.
Yep. Bad.
That's good.
How old were you then?
Like 14 or something. 13,
that is basically as tame as it gets for a 14-year-old.
Yeah, but also, I think if you find your kid's porn, unless it's like really weird, you kind of just got to pretend you didn't, you know?
Yeah. No, it was better this way.
Or you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have beaten you, Lawrence. I would have taught you a good lesson.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Man.
This stuff is way too tame. No son of mine.
I think the funnier part is that you leaving a trail of notes to a Literatica printout is much more likely to lead somebody to find it than just like having the pages in a book that which you know of.
Yeah. Or, I mean,
the curiosity would increase as they continue to find the notes. Like, I wonder what this is going to be.
Man, can you imagine the disappointment after following all the
Yeah, it's just like, this is just a shitty sex story.
This is a sex story between a garbage can and a trash compactor.
What? Is that what you imagined he printed out?
What probably. The fuck, bro?
This is Lawrence we're talking about, man.
I think Edgar was inadvertently giving us a terrifying glimpse into his early sexuality.
A trash compactor and a garbage can?
He's watching A New Hope and getting so hot at that diagnosis scene. They're like, shut down all the trash compactors on the detention level. And he's like, no, don't. No, I want a clean read on that because it was a good joke. Rahul's watching A Brave New Hope or A New Hope, and he's like, they get to the trash compactor sequence, and he's like, they're like, shut down all the trash compactors on the detention level, and he's like, no, don't. Come on, nice. That was worth going back for.
And then I'm just like, all right, I've seen enough. I'm done with the movie. I'm bored.
Yeah, I came like 5 minutes ago.
They're like, your dad's
this,
watching.
This is it, just. Wallowing at this point.
Your dad's watching it. He's like, wow, it gets sure does get fuzzy on that trash compactor scene. It was fuck it. Let's get back to virtuosity. Enough of tales of young Lawrence.
I have a question for the group.
Sure. Yeah.
Why are the police so obsessed with Denzel even when Sid is running around committing atrocities?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Sid keeps framing Denzel for murders, and they keep, like, trying to arrest Denzel over and over and saying that he's...
Well, sorry. But even the ones he didn't frame Denzel for are objectively worse than what Denzel did.
Sid has committed at least 2 massacres on live television at this point, including one where he directed the screams of his victims like a symphony. And for some reason, they're still like, oh, that Denzel, we better put out wanted posters for him.
A police helicopter with a machine cannon.
To be fair, if he's fucking out there killing people in cold blood, like the witnesses said he was, which I'm going to come back to that in a second, then they should be arresting both of them. But why the fuck were the witnesses so convinced he killed that woman when it was so obvious what happened?
Yeah, were, I mean, like, eyewitnesses are very unreliable, so that
they were all like, he killed that woman in cold blood. And it's like, first of all, even if he killed that woman, it was very clearly not in cold blood.
Yeah.
Like, there was another killer there that he was pointing the gun at.
Was the other guy, no, but in that situation on the train, Sid was hiding his gun, right? So no one saw that he had a gun.
But even then,
I thought he shot somebody before that even happened.
I don't remember.
Let me throw this out there too.
Okay.
Well, two things. One, eyewitness is notoriously unreliable. If this had happened in real life, yeah, 100% people would have been very confused about who shot who, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, though, this is not real life. It's the film Virtuosity, which is as far from real life as you can get, I would argue. But two, Denzel has a laser sight on his gun, and he's very obviously like pointing it at Russell Crowe's head, and then the woman's head is getting in the way. And then the woman gets shot in her lower abdomen where everyone can see he was not aiming.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, the laser sight's just miscalibrated. It was still him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened in that scene. I don't know why they thought like that would work to sell us as the viewers. Like, oh yeah, people could totally believe that. I mean, I get that in real life things get confusing. People would probably have fucking conspiracies about what happened before the day was over, but like it just doesn't, that's like not a necessary part of this movie. It just
wouldn't
seems
you
to confuse
know
what's going on.
Which gun fired just from
yes,
the sound?
100%. Well, not from that, but any level of ballistics testing is instantly gonna clear Denzel's name.
Well, and it's also like fucking when he got free of the van, he was locked up in the back with no weapon, and the van was stopped because the drivers were killed, clearly from outside of the van. And they're like, he killed two cops to get away. It's like,
what? Yeah.
What is wrong with you people?
So ludicrous. Like, it's just unbelievable.
That's an insane idea. How would he even be able to do that? Yeah. He's not the robot.
And there was a witness for that. Yeah. There was literally a witness.
Yeah.
I want to try a little something. And this may not work, but
the globalists want us to believe that Sid is behind this crime spree. I'm telling you, no, folks. It's Soros-funded Denzel Washington who's doing all the killing.
That's a little Alex Jones for you, folks.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God.
It didn't just turn into an Italian accent. So, well,
hey,
whatever.
It didn't.
Yeah, whatever the fuck accent I do. I'm tired. I'm very tired.
You know, that would happen. I totally believe that there would be like weird conspiracies and stuff. But like, that's not what this movie was about. And nowhere does it even veer towards that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a simpler time, even though they had androids.
Yeah.
Or nanobot droids.
It was a both simpler and infinitely more complex time. It was, fuck. I got one, which is, so Denzel's like handler slash boss slash, I guess, warden is William Forsythe, who for some reason is just on his side, 100% soup to nuts, no matter what. And at one point, William, he discovers that they have injected Denzel with a suicide capsule and are going to activate it from outer space because they've decided that he's gone rogue based on no evidence. So William Forsythe just breaks into the control room and shoots all of the computers and then bashes them with a chair. And for some reason, this is enough to stop them from activating the suicide game.
Like, man, they didn't have a concept of cloud-based computing back then. I mean,
or even like a second room.
Right? 95, 96?
Yeah.
95.
Yeah, so like Windows 95.
Yeah,
that was the era. It's so primitive.
But
they didn't have servers, but
I mean,
yeah,
or
I mean,
just
recognizable, but like there would have been like a server to them is like irreplaceable, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like,
well,
a mainframe.
No, a server to them is a magic box, much like everything else. Every computer in this movie is kind of a magic box that can
kind of
do anything
to the movie creators, yes.
Yeah, although the description of what Sid is, he's like, I'm a self reinforcing neural network. Which actually, I mean, if you're going to have an artificial intelligence, yeah, those are probably the words that would be the artificial intelligence. Although I doubt it would have a human personality, you know?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it might have a human personality, but it would have a human personality in the way of, like, it was just, had been trained to produce reactions that people thought were human, and you did that in enough things, and it's very hard to tell if it's
human. Yeah, they clearly thought that they were, like, very close to a trillion node neural net that can simulate human brains.
Yeah, and the other thing is, though, then they're talking about how he's got all these guidelines and safeguards and stuff, and that is not something that you could really have in a neural net, I don't think.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I just don't think that there's any way.
You could like do like reinforcement training where you're like, this behavior is like heavily discouraged by like the, you know, training guidelines or something. But they're specifically saying that they've limited the like ways he's allowed to kill. And Denzel starts freaking out because he's like electrocuting someone and he shouldn't know how to electrocute them. And that's not what a neural network would produce.
Yeah. I assumed that was because he was saying that the program wouldn't allow it, not because the personality wouldn't allow it. And it seems like that's maybe what happened, because there is some part where the creator was like, you tampered with the restrictions before they ran it, which is why the other guy died from it too.
I guess my question then is, what are they trying to do where like electricity is just like completely beyond the bounds of like what they should be training?
I don't know. I don't know why that was important to show in the movie too.
Yeah.
Like him going outside the rules, like that was just never really brought up again.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that they talk about how they're also using a genetic algorithm to like determine like whatever the most, and I mean, this is like, stop me if I'm getting out over my skis here, but my understanding is that the main thing with neural networks is that you got the training data, you got sort of the initial whatever, and then you've got like the, you know, you train it up and then you've got the thing, right? But the training process usually takes a pretty long time. So I don't think it would also be practical to do a genetic algorithm on it. And also you kind of wouldn't want to, because the genetic algorithm is sort of already built into it, you know, like not quite, but like the way the training works, it's also like selecting for the correct behaviors.
I think you can combine the concepts of a genetic algorithm and a neural net.
Okay, fair enough.
I think each node can have each node has like certain parameters to it. And you basically train it slightly differently every time.
But
yeah, they, I don't.
They were talking about it more like they were making the actual like different personalities compete, which would be like.
I don't know how the fuck that works. Yeah. I mean, well, it doesn't even make sense how they even have the personalities. Like, yeah. In what sense do they have them?
Especially, like, you know? I mean, Hitler, whatever. But, like, a lot of the personalities, I think one of them was Eileen Wuornos, who did kill a fair number of people, but it was also just an intensely sick and sad woman who had been subjected to monstrous abuse, you know? It's like, what good's that, having that at there, going to do? Unless you really want the android to get, like, beaten by its, like, intimate partner or something, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark, but also everything about Eileen Wuornos is dark, and she shouldn't be on that fucking list.
They included her, so
yeah,
it's fair game.
If you're gonna do it as a joke, I guess you do like history's greatest dictators and just be like, okay, it's Stalin, Hitler, Genghis Khan, all that shit. So it's kind of like comic. The inclusion of actual serial killers there is pretty distasteful, especially once they start going for the deep cuts that aren't, you know, people sort of to a certain extent laugh about like Charles Manson or Jeffrey Dahmer or whatever, even though they shouldn't. But Eileen Wuornos doesn't have like the cultural like relevancy to it being desaturated to the point where she's a figure of fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
That's probably too heavy of a thought to put on this dumb movie, honestly.
I don't think that they thought it through that much, to be honest. I think that they were just like, list of serial killers in fucking this is pre-Google, maybe. So pre-Google being a super reliable source. Encarta, so they might have just, Britannica. Like, Encarta or, like, literally an encyclopedia. Encarta, that takes me back, dude.
To the Paradise City.
Yeah, I'm looking up the list of people who, okay. Okay, some of these are actually incredible, though. Apparently, Billy the Kid was in one of the things the chain trained the guy, along with Benito Mussolini, Saddam Hussein, Gilda Ray, who may not have actually done anything and just have been framed, Nicolae Ceausescu, who fucking sucks but is not competent enough to be included in it, Sirhan Sirhan, who again is an assassin who killed one person. Jesus Christ, this is just, man.
Wow.
Lizzie Borden. They somehow got a complete personality read out of Lizzie Borden and threw her in there.
It's like, where did they possibly get this stuff? I mean, like, what are they basing it on? Are they just like, do they have like four parameters and they just like arbitrarily assigned everyone those four parameters?
Maybe they, you know, like, fed their biographies into a
system. I don't, like, what does it even mean? I'm with Lawrence in the sense that it makes no fucking sense at all how you could possibly do a genetic algorithm with real personalities, because it makes no sense.
No, they're like, okay, we're gonna put in brain scan. We're gonna put in, I don't know, Lizzie Borden's axe skills. That's the thing we pulled from her. We're like, just mad at Gilda Ray's Satanism. It's Saddam Hussein's mustache, and see what comes out.
Saddam Hussein's mustache is the thing that you pull. The most prolific killer in history.
I mean, Saddam Hussein fucking sucks, but he's not like gonna help you like go in and do atrocities personally very much. His whole thing was mostly just ordering other people to do bad shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh. I'm gonna just pick one of these at random. Roger Dale Stafford. I'm very curious, like, just what the fuck. Yep, he's a serial killer. I don't know what I expected. He killed 6 employees of the Sirloin Stockade restaurant in Omaha.
I mean, this is like, it's like kind of, like you said, kind of fucked up to reference a guy like this who, like, nobody knows.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like, weirdos who know, like, obsess over serial killer body counts are like, oh my God, I can't believe my man fucking Ralph Jerome Von Braun Seltz made the list, but. Okay, actually, you know what? Ralph Jerome Von Braun Seltz, labeled the laughing killer by the press, Seltz continuously filed petitions for his release and made several successful escapes from prison, only to be recaptured each time. So I guess it kind of makes sense to include that guy in a little bit, because apparently at least, I mean, he's good at escaping from prison. That's like a thing that you might want to like.
That's consider. A skill. Yeah.
Yeah.
His alias was Sliptonfell.
Jesus Christ. I mean, we shouldn't be laughing because he's probably a murderer. Although, I mean, on the other hand, apparently he confessed while he was given a truth serum. So that probably...
He might have just been an innocent drifter.
Yeah. Huh. He got paroled in the 1970s, and his ultimate fate is unknown. Apparently he also got out, but then he was sent back to prison for social security fraud.
Wow. That's how they always get you.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Don't fraudulate the Social Security, my friend.
Yeah, but anyways, I don't know. This whole thing is, there's some funny guys in here, but a lot of this, like, Squeaky Frome's in there too. You know, whatever. But let's move on. There's a lot of fucked up shit in here, and most of it isn't funny and shouldn't be it, because this is a stupid movie.
Yeah. Pretty weird. Pretty weird.
Yep.
Anyone have any parting shots for the movie? I think we're...
Yeah, I think we're at about time. I have a game, but yeah, I don't know. This movie's really fucking dumb is kind of the main thing. And and like you said, the main thing that makes it work is Russell Crowe giving this insane, unhinged, weird performance, and then Denzel approaching it like, no, this is the movie that's going to win me the Oscar.
Yep. Yeah, if it didn't have those two in it, this movie would be like really shitty.
Yeah.
It is. But
I think it works with them.
It is pretty funny that both Denzel and like... Russell Crowe, I think, have won multiple Oscars, and we're still... This is maybe the only movie that they've been in together, aside from American Gangster.
Which came out 2 years after this, I think.
American Gangster?
Yeah, that was... No, that was way longer.
That was way longer than 2 years after 1995. Really? Yeah, bro, we were in high school when that movie came out.
Oh, I got another one. When Sid 6.7 takes a swan dive into the octagon ring from the balcony, an Australian flag is clearly seen. The inclusion of the Australian flag was on specific request from Russell Crowe to honor his roots. Okay, great.
Huh.
Oh, apparently, supposedly Crowe at the time of filming was a virtual unknown outside of Australia. So I guess we might have this to thank for, you know, our beloved asshole Russell Crowe, wow, who was very fun to watch in movies.
I love Russell Crowe. I love that this movie kicked him off because he did such a good job in this movie.
I mean, he figured out the kind of performance this movie needs and gave it with incredible, like, zeal.
Yep.
Which isn't quite the same thing as giving a good performance, but, you know.
I think it is.
I guess understanding the assignment and doing what's asked of you is kind of good, even if it's not, like, Oscar stuff, you know?
Yeah, right. It's not the same as Denzel's performance here, but, like... He does a really good job making like a crazy thing, which it doesn't feel out of place. It feels like it works for the movie.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's all I have to say about this movie.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything?
Nope.
Rahul, you have any parting shots?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So let's go ahead and do a game. Now, one of the side effects of having a kid is that I've been spending a lot more time like listening to kind of low grade audiobooks because I needed stuff that it wouldn't matter if I couldn't focus too good because I was sleep deprived. And you know what's great for that? Fucking Caiaphas Kane. So it's a time for another round of 40K or 40 No Way, motherfucker.
All right.
Okay, so 40K or 40 No Way is a game of my invention where 40K is, of course, set in the grim darkness of the 40th millennia, where mankind is stuck in a weird sort of technological dark age and everyone is accusing everyone of heresy all the time. And it's great fun. And one of the weird things about it is that there will be things from our current age in 40K that exist in 40K that you would not expect to have survived that long. And there are a couple of different ways that something can exist from our current day there in the future. First, it can just exist. So, for instance, waffles just exist in Warhammer 40K. Second, it can exist, but it can have a stupid science fiction name. So, for instance, gasoline exists in 40K, but it's called Prometheum. And third, it can exist because the author thought it would be funny to throw in a reference. So Kyra Sedgwick exists in Warhammer 40K. So I am going to go around and I'm going to add, I've got a list of six items. Each of you will get three. And I'm going to ask you if something exists in Warhammer 40K. You will tell me yes or no. If no, and you're correct, you get 2 points. If yes, you get 1 point. And then you can tell me if it has a dumb sci-fi name, which is worth another point if you get that right. And finally, if you can guess this dumb sci-fi name, it's worth 3 points.
All right.
And it occurs to me that probably explaining the rules is dumb because, you know, we don't get new listeners who need it explained, but yeah. I did it anyways.
Okay. It's also Whose Lines Anyway rules where the points don't matter.
And it mostly
and
just
the only
exists...
thing you can win is Eternal Glory in Lawrence's eyes.
Yeah, and it mostly just exists for me to like tell you guys about dumb shit I read in Warhammer 40K book. So we could also replace it with a book report. Anyways, so Ronald, do pairs exist in Warhammer 40K?
Do pairs exist?
Yep.
Ooh. What the I'll say yes.
Do they have a stupid name?
Do they have a stupid name? You know what? I'm going to say no. I think they're just pairs.
Nope. They're called ploins. So you get 1 point. I don't know why.
How do you know that's what a pair is?
I forget how I know that. It's lost in the light. But I have faith.
They're called ploins.
Yeah. What was wrong with the word pair?
That's not science
fiction. That
doesn't
even sound more sci-fi. It just sounds stupid.
Well, sometimes it just sounds stupid, Ronald.
That's so good. It sounds like something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Now, right. Rahul.
Oh, my God.
In the grim darkness of the 40th millennium, are there still nice butts and big old bitties?
I'm going to meta here and say that's so specific that it has to be yes.
Okay, do butts and tits have different names in the 40th millennium?
Yeah, it's not really that specific.
I mean, it's just so... All right. Do they have different
names? Yeah, do they? If you were talking about someone's tits, would you call them something other than like tits, breasts, whatever we call them?
Butts.
Yeah,
not the same label for both.
Yeah, I mean not that, but like you know, and theoretically, if they did have different sci-fi names, you could like score a great deal of points on this by getting.
Yeah, you know how like back in the 90s, people called them TNA.
Yeah. Is there like some special 40K like?
Oh, I see. Then yes, and it's Shit. Titty.
You can't get titties out of your mind.
No, bitty bloins.
Okay, so you're saying tits are called bitty bloins? What do you call butts?
Thumpers.
Thumpers for butts.
All right, I don't hate it.
Well, I mean, so no one ever says like the guy who's like described Caiaphas Kane, first of all, is the only person in all of 40K fiction who actually is allowed to get horny to the point where in the book I just read he at one point turns his head to look at a woman's ass, and an assassin is trying to kill him, and the bullet misses because he turned his head to look at the woman's ass. But as far as I can tell,
he's Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, but for being horny.
Yeah.
But no, they're just called boobs and butts. I mean, obviously they don't say boobs and butts, but you know, they're
really
talking like
forward
cleavage.
To a sci-fi
You're kidding me.
Although at one point he does use the word, he describes a woman's butt as a Calipygian delight, which is a real word that exists in our reality, but is stupid. And
you told me that.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So Raul, I'm sorry, you only get a point, and the game is now tied at 1-1.
Oh, man.
Okay, now, Ronald, do pizza exist in Warhammer 40K?
Oh, yeah, pizza exists.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called... it's called... Calorie Disc.
I don't think it exists. I certainly haven't read it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. No pizza. It truly is the darkest future.
Calorie Disc.
I think that is a pretty good name. Albeit not for a pizza. Okay. Rahul, deflux capacitors exist in Warhammer 40K.
Yes.
What are they called?
They're called...
Or do they have a dumb sci-fi name?
That's not our deflux capacitor.
Yeah.
That's different for flux capacitor.
It you still use the word flux, but inside capacitor, it's capacitron.
Okay. Is a flux capacitor a real thing?
No.
Okay.
It's a thing that makes time travel possible in Back to the Future.
Well, yeah, okay. Obviously, I know that that's what the
Back to the Future wasn't real, Ronald.
So I don't know if, like, a flux capacitor is also, like, a real thing that exists that they just misused in the movie.
I mean, flux is a real thing.
Flux is a real thing. Capacitors are a real thing.
I guess you might be able to combine them in some way. But flux is, correct me if I'm wrong, but flux is, like, the change in the magnetic and electrical field produced by turning a magnet, I think.
I think flux is just like the surface area capture of like a wave going through a field or something.
Fuck, it's been a long time. Anyways, nah, they're just called flux capacitors.
Ah, shit. Well, I got
it. Do they do time travel?
No, they just, they kind of, at one point they're like, oh, our speeder's fucked because the flux capacitors are broken. And I'm like, I see what you did there and I hate it.
Okay, hey, I got half of it.
Okay, fine. I'll give you one. I'll give you 0.5. I guess. I don't know. So it's now Ronald 1, Rahul 1.5.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, Ronald, does Immanuel Kant exist in Warhammer 40K?
Oh, yeah, he definitely does.
Okay, does he have a stupid name?
Yes.
What's
like barely?
Yeah.
It's probably like... what would it be? It's like probably like Immanuel Kant or something.
Oh my god, you were so close. First of all, it is just R. Immanuel Kant. At one point, a character in a novel I was reading was like, I was thinking of, he starts reflecting on the categorical imperative, but he calls him Immanuel Quant for some reason.
Oh, I knew it was something stupid like that.
Okay, and Rahul, it's now 3 to 1.5, but you could still bring this ahead if you nail this one. So, do they have newspapers in Warhammer 40K?
No.
I'm sorry, man. They do, and they're called print sheets.
Oh, man.
They didn't even print try. Sheets. Yeah, they didn't even fucking try.
Yeah, that's... Why would they be sheets?
I don't know.
They print them out on paper?
Apparently so. It's dumb. And also, my real question is, why do they bother having the media in Warhammer 40K? Because everything would just be propaganda and lies anyways.
That's why they have it.
Yep.
Do I have to spread their propaganda somehow?
Yep. Okay. Anyways, you guys want to do a YouTube roulette too? Fuck it.
Sure.
I know that this is never as funny as I think it's going to be, but I have a good feeling about tonight.
All right. Let's try it. I have a feeling that something Baki related is going to come up for me because I've been watching a lot of Baki videos.
Okay. Ronald, why don't you go first?
Okay, I can go first. Okay, well, the first one, Ogre and Pickle, Baki Hanma Season 2, The Tale of Pickle and the Pickle War Saga, Netflix anime.
The Pickle War Saga. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I gotta scroll down a ways, because for some reason YouTube does like a bunch of like memes and stuff now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's good. Alright. Okay, I got one that's called Who's Got the Real Win Streak? Which seems to be a Street Fighter 6 video. Okay, YouTube's weird now because it recommends you stuff that, like, nobody is watching.
I know. I've noticed, like, that. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to
see stuff that has, like, zero views.
Yeah, right? It's like, this is probably so low quality. Garbage. Yeah, but that's what this is. It's a Street Fighter 6 video, which, admittedly, I do watch Street Fighter 6 videos. But this is, like, you know, some low-quality producer. I guess I get that they're trying to get people who don't already have views. Like, somebody, they've got to get discovered somehow.
But, you know what? I think it's wonderful that YouTube is trying to, like, just recommend some, like, indie shit to you. And I think it's a little bit sad that your taste is so mainstream.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. And then my last one is how Wozniak's code for the Apple One works, which is a really cool video producer that I've watched before. And it looks like I've watched some other stuff where he, like, created his own graphics card on a breadboard. And it looks like he actually makes the Apple One on a breadboard in this.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some YouTubers whose projects are just unbelievable.
Yeah. Like looks too much work, but it looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is one dude who he made a simulator of a combustion engine, and, like, he did the fluid dynamics and everything just to get the sound of a combustion engine, and it ended up predicting the horsepower and torque curves in real life of the engine. Like, he went into so much depth. I know, it's fucking crazy. I'm like, holy dingus. That sounds like so much work.
Seriously. Wow. Yep.
Sounded like a real engine, though.
Any other way to figure out the properties of an engine that exists in the world?
Nope, probably not.
Yep. Anyways, I'm going to go next.
All right.
So we've got Onyx. First off, I've got a trailer for something called Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls, which is in theaters sometime in October and appears to be some kind of shitty comedy about, I guess,
like
fantasy
comedy.
I guess it's about fantasy. Well, it looks like fantasy shit, like, happening in the real world. Like, a lot of it is kind of a schlubby looking guy, like, looking incredulously while a hot chick does fantasy shit around him, you know?
Oh, it sounds like what you're into.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff. Then I've got a video called Coach, I've Got AIDS, which appears to be that Captain Planet thing where Doogie Howser has AIDS. And finally, you didn't know that there was a Captain Planet where, like, a kid has AIDS, and then an anthropomorphic rat voiced, I think, by Jeff Goldblum spreads a bunch of rumors just apparently for shifting giggles to get him ostracized.
Yep. Oh my god, I need to watch that.
It's not as good as you think.
It sounds really good.
But anyways, and finally I've got Four Halfling Barbarians, which is a Baldur's Gate thing about a guy who made a party of four halfling barbarians.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
What a pathetic recommendation, Lawrence.
Yep.
All right, let's hear Rahul's.
Yeah, you're calling me pathetic. Buddy, can you do better?
No, but I'm not gonna stop.
Yeah. This is gonna stop him from talking shit, dude.
Bring it. Bring
Never
it.
Never has before. Yeah.
All right. The insanity of modern automotive electronics and ho. Dot dot dot. Must be how.
And ho.
I'm pretty sure it's ho.
Oh, I see. It got cut off.
Got cut off.
I was like, what does that mean?
I'm not mousing over it.
I mean, it's calling modern automobile electronics hoes.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
They are.
Seems pretty judgmental to me.
Yeah, yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Number two is the porn actor who thinks he's a real actor.
What?
Huh. Who is it?
Yeah. Is it Johnny Sims?
Him? No, it's just a guy who makes funny videos.
It better not be fucking McBlue. I hate that dude.
I have no idea who that is.
What's the YouTuber?
From your weird universe.
What's the YouTuber's name?
Trevor Wallace.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
Okay, he's a comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
And third is Steven Seagal running like a girl compilation.
Wow, you really got, you really did get Lawrence's algorithm today.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to delete my YouTube.
Yep. Well, no, he didn't quite get mine because, you know, he didn't have to wade through five Daryl Brooks videos before to find what he'd say.
That is true.
Yeah, true.
Anyways, okay.
Who's the most embarrassing today?
No
one's was particularly embarrassing.
Yeah. I had let's see.
I think we got to go with Lawrence on this one because apparently he got recommended a movie about an average Joe getting sexed by fantasy stuff.
Well, I don't think he's getting sexed, but well, yeah, fair enough. I think it's just, I mean, the girl's probably going to fall in love with him eventually, but.
Oh, all right. Well, still pathetic stuff.
Yeah. And it presumably got served to me because that's secretly my wish to get, you know, be a special whittle boy.
As we all know, the algorithm is 100% accurate and knows your inner feelings.
Yeah, better than you do, in fact. So, you know, for instance,
trust the algorithm.
Yep. Yeah, Wes. Okay. And finally, let's do some recommendations and cautions. What do you guys think?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Ronald, you go first.
All right, this week I've got a recommendation, I've got a caution. I was very sick earlier this week with food poisoning, and I had kind of a movie day, so I watched a couple movies, and pretty much at random. I have been really enjoying just watching random movies I've never heard of before. One of them was kind of one I'd heard of, and that's the recommendation. Now, this is a light recommendation, but the recommendation is the movie The Rental from 2020. It was directed by Dave Franco, starring Alison Brie, Jeremy Allen White, Sheila Vand, and Dan Stevens. This movie is a light horror movie. I mean, it's a horror movie, but it's not. That's not really its main thrust, in a way. About some people who rent this house, like a Airbnb, and as they continue to stay there, they start to realize that there's cameras everywhere and they're being recorded. But two of them, so that there's two couples, and two people from the two couples cheat with each other and were recorded, so they don't want to turn it in right away, and it kind of devolves into this whole like web of lies mixed with a serial killer. And I think that Dave Franco really knows how to do relationships and devolving relationships, as I can see from this movie. I don't know if I've watched any of his other movies. But the thriller horror aspect of this movie is kind of, there's just not that much there. It's not that much to bite into. I would say that you've seen it before in basically any other horror movie, and a lot of other things have done it better. So I wouldn't say that this is like a glowing recommendation, but I still think that this was pretty good. I think that this was shot really well and the acting's really good, and I think the character interactions were good. I think the ending is kind of uninspired, but it is very mean-spirited, which I enjoyed. So if that sounds good to you, check out The Rental from 2020. Now, caution, this was a movie I kind of watched at random. I'd maybe kind of heard of this, but I didn't really know anything about it. It's the movie Mannequin from 1987. This was directed by Michael Gottlieb and starring Andrew McCarthy, Ken Cattrall, and a very young James Spader, who I was very surprised to see in this. But this movie is basically about a guy who makes a mannequin that's very lifelike. And this guy's kind of a fuck up. He keeps getting fired from all of his jobs, but he's like an artist. And he gets fired because he takes too long on things, but he does a really good job at it. And he makes this mannequin and he starts to fall in love with it because it's so human-like. And then it kind of comes to life, but only when he's around. And so you kind of go through the movie questioning, like, is he imagining all this? Until the ending, which makes it very clear that he's not, because the woman comes to life for real. It is like a zany comedy that was very characteristic of the 80s. Michael Gottlieb only directed a few movies. He directed this. This was like his premiere or his debut. So these are actually two directorial debuts for Dave Franco and Michael Gottlieb. This was like the first one that Michael Gottlieb directed, but he also directed a few others that might not really recognize. I think maybe his most famous movie was A Kid in King Arthur's Court, if you ever saw that. And after A Kid in King Arthur's Court, he became a video game producer and did a bunch of the Mortal Kombat games, which I found pretty interesting. So kind of a weird career for him. Kim Cattrall, you might recognize because she's in Sex and the City, but she's also the stunningly hot female lead in Big Trouble in Little China. And she's also incredibly attractive in this. This movie just really, it's not very interesting. The characters aren't very interesting. You know exactly what's going to happen from the beginning of the movie. It would have been interesting if they had made the guy kind of a psycho and he was just imagining the mannequin and he fucked a mannequin, which would be very funny, but not in the way that the movie was going for funny. So it probably wouldn't have really fit, but still. It would have been a much more interesting movie, but that's not what happened. And yeah, there was just like a lot of those 80s zany moments where like the boss is the bad guy and he's evil for some reason. And then he gets hired by the owner, who's this like really good owner, but all the management is bad for some reason. It's like the millionaires are the good people. Just not a great movie. Not that fun. Not that funny. Not really that much to check out. Not really worth revisiting. Maybe if you have nostalgia for it, you can go recheck it out, but not in my opinion, a movie worth visiting from the 80s. And that's it for me.
Okay, I'm going to go next. So I've got a double recommendation. First off, I watched this movie, A Dark Song, from 2016, directed by, motherfucker, Liam Gavin. It's about a woman where she's it's one of those movies where it kind of, the less you know about going into it, the better, honestly. But it's about a woman who hires an intensely shady occultist to try to do this really grueling ritual that's going to involve them being stuck inside a house for like months to maybe years without being able to leave while they attempt to like make this occult working happen. And it's a very strange movie because it's incredibly slow paced and mostly interested in making you feel uneasy. I don't think there are any actual scares in the first half of it. It's literally just interested in like making everything feel like ominous and doomed and dark and you feeling disquieted. And once it does like start unleashing scares, the scares aren't actually that scary. It's much better at doing the mood than it is at like doing the thing that normally you build the mood and then you introduce the scares and the scares get harder. The scares they're okay, but they don't really work. But goddamn, is the mood cool. And it ends on this like weird note of like incredible grace that a lot of like sort of Irish and British horror movies will aim for. And I really liked it a lot. I'd say just go watch it. There's a very real chance you won't like it. And if you're not on board in the first 20 minutes, just bail, because it's not going to do anything much different than what you've seen in the first 20 minutes. But I was very entranced by it and got on its wavelength and had a great time. And second, this is the last movie I saw before my kid came and probably the last movie I'm going to see in theaters for like months to years, which is, I probably should have picked this better one, but it's it's Dracula Boat, you know, Last Voyage of the Demeter. You know what? This movie's not getting like incredible reviews, but sometimes you just want to watch a bunch of like British character actors be on a boat and then get picked off by Dracula. And this is that movie. It's got Dracula. He's fucked up. He's monstrous. He's not sexy at all. He's going around eating people. He's making,
this is maybe the only movie that fulfills that niche.
Yeah. He's making ghouls and shit. It's really cool. And it also has the woman, I forget her name, but she was in The Mockingbird. And it's pretty nice to see her in a movie where she's doing something other than cry while being incredibly angry. And I don't know. Go watch it. It's fine. People are saying it's bad. There's people are going in with too high expectations. And sometimes you watch a shitty movie or even a movie that's just middling and it acquires accidental resonance because of where you are in your life when you see it. And so go see The Last Voyage of the Demeter and see if maybe your wife gives birth to a son like a few days later. Who knows? Anyways, I'm tired. Go, Rahul.
Well, I have no cautions, but I'm going to recommend half of the movie The Revenant.
Jesus fucking Christ!
The Bear, fantastic.
The hair?
The bear.
Oh. I was like, that is such a weird compliment.
I mean, you know, if it was an animated movie, that'd be a legit
true. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really good, but it got pulled from Amazon, so I'm never going to finish it.
So, you could. Wait, one sec. One fucking
Can
sec.
Can you pay for it?
I don't want to. I got ants to deal with.
I thought it was good.
It was good. You know, I might rent it. You're right. I've changed my opinion But I keep defaulting back to the don't pay for any media
thing, Rahul, you know,
but I am more willing to pay.
It is just, it's $4 to rent it.
You're allowed to not pay for media.
Yeah, I can do.
I never claimed that you weren't.
You said that if I pay for media, you were going to drop a bomb upon my head.
Actually, I did. I forgot about that. I think what I said was like a lot of people expect now because Netflix gave out everything for free that everything should be free.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I don't blame the customer. I blame Netflix.
Yeah. But seriously, I think that the whole thing that ended up happening, like, I can't speak to the paying thing, but like, first of all, I of course never pirated anything, being a law-abiding citizen who loves the law.
Yeah, not suspicious at all, but go on. Yeah.
But anyways, I think if I had been pirating stuff, I think what ultimately happened was just that it somehow became infinitely easier to just like, you know, get the stuff through a subscription. You know? Yeah,
right.
So, and piracy at this point, like in the old days before like streaming existed, it was like the easiest way you could get anything in your house, you know,
right.
Torrents permitting or mega uploads or whatever. And it was like better than anything. And especially if you happen to have like a Windows computer and an Xbox hooked up to the same like network switch, the Xbox could pick up your videos folder somehow. And you could just play them on your computer or on your TV from the Xbox and everything was easy and gravy. And now everything's so fucking complicated to do that. Whereas you could just go on Amazon and spend a small amount of money or something similar will be free. So I meant piracy is basically just dead or like a very niche thing for like shit that isn't on streaming anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think piracy still definitely exists. It's just, you know, you don't need to do it anymore because there was a time when it's like, if you wanted to watch a specific movie, it wasn't necessarily easy to get your hands on it. You know, you had to either buy the DVD or like hope that your local Blockbuster had it. And they often didn't. And, you know, even if they had it, they might not have it in stock or whatever. Like piracy was like, I think back in the day, more of like a convenience, like you're saying.
Yeah. The second it became easier to follow the law, people will start following the law.
Yeah, because it's not worth the risk for most people. But, I mean, I think that a lot of people have a mindset of like, oh, if it's not free, I'm just going to pirate it, take that. And it's like, you're not owed the movie. I personally think you're not owed the movie. Like, you should probably have to pay something. How much that is, I'm not sure. But I think it's probably more than like $8 a month for unlimited movies of every movie, which I think is like what the expectation is because that's how much it used to be when Netflix gave away like everything. But that was like, you know, Greenfields, like nobody knew how much streaming was worth back then.
Yeah. They got this really sweetheart deal with Showtime essentially where Showtime had somehow got this contract that allowed them to put shit, I think on their like primitive streaming app and Netflix somehow convinced them to like sign it over for like a song. And that's why we have Netflix in its current form.
Yeah. But that's also like no one's willing to pay for anything. That's like part of the reason that the movie industry is like having this huge strike is because, you know, people aren't willing to pay for Netflix because now it's costs more and has less of a catalog. And like that's caused Netflix to have, you know, whatever financial woes.
Possibly. The other thing is that they straight up won't tell you the numbers. So we don't know if they're doing good or not.
Although they claim, though.
Although the fact that they can't just like borrow money for free now because interest rates are up probably isn't helping things either.
Probably. Yeah. So anyways.
Anyways.
The point is pay for movies, people. If you want to support the industry, you should pay for movies.
The other point, subscribe to Shudder because it is basically everything you want to see for a very small amount of money. Yeah, and I think it's profitable somehow because horror movies are cheap. And you're like, what if I want to watch something that isn't a horror movie? And I got great news. Shudder quite frequently will just pick up international movies that are kind of genre-y and throw them on there because they're cheap. So who cares?
Yeah.
Anyways. I guess plugs now. Raul, you got a plug?
No plug.
All right. Well, I'm going to plug I think reproducing ultimately is pretty cool. Like, it takes a while, but, you know, try it, man. Go ahead and have a kid. Worst case, you put it up for adoption and move on with your life.
Yeah.
That is terrible advice. but I'm going to take it.
Well, you know, surprisingly, it's the best advice Lawrence has ever given.
Because it doesn't involve actively breaking the law. It's just incredibly, incredibly irresponsible.
That's, you know, even though it's not technically, even though it's not technically breaking the law, I feel like that's more immoral than most of the stuff that you pitch.
Really? Because a lot of the stuff I pick is sort of de facto involving, like, mass murder of various descriptions.
I don't know. Some of the stuff you pitch is like, don't worship Satan. Maybe that was Rahul, actually.
Yeah, I just repeated it because
it's Satan.
Well, I don't know. Anyways, fuck. Anyone got anything else to say? If not, I think we should hang up and I can go to sleep.
I'd like to say congratulations, Lawrence and Bianca, for having a little chidler.
Yeah, and not putting it up for adoption.
Not deciding it wasn't for me and putting it up for adoption, despite the fact that I haven't had a good night's sleep in literally 3 weeks at this point.
Yeah, you're still in for it for like a month or two.
Good. Well, and also it's really cutting its...
Is his sleep stabilizing by now?
I can't tell, man. The only time I can observe that is at 3 a.m, and I can't really think that good at this point.
I see.
Also, he's really cutting into my Baldur's Gate 3 time, so yeah, that's also a concern.
Wow, okay, well, never mind on the kid thing.
Yep.
I was going to do it, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you have to choose between a kid and making Lazael like you. And I'm actually really annoyed because I started this whole new playthrough where I made a Githyanki, and I'm like, oh, Lazael's going to love me so much because I'm a Githyanki too. And then I like eventually the time came where I'm like, hey, Lazael, you're looking at me different to start the romance. And she's like, nah, I don't want you because you've already been pawed over, I guess, because I smooched Karlach and Shadowheart.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's your fault.
I mean, how was I supposed to know that she doesn't like it when you slut around a little?
Yeah, that's fair. What, is she a prude?
Yeah. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. Signing off.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna...